Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day. Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. Don't live your life on hold with online car insurance that's driven to save you time and money.
Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1.
Welcome back again once again. It was a huge weekend for Sportsmageddon, and we're down from 24 teams, believe it or not, started the UEFA Euro 2024 Football Championships. We're into the quarterfinals now, the last eight. Lisa Fallon is RTE soccer analyst, currently working with FIFA. She's on the line to give us a lowdown on those still in contention for the glory. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, Oliver. How are you?
Not so bad at all. You're actually finished your punditry now for RTE, are you?
I am indeed. I backed to the day job now, so we're preparing now. We've got the men's and women's Olympics coming up in a couple of weeks, and then I think we're home for 14, 15 days, and then out to Colombia for the women's under 20 World Cup. So, it's busy. We've a busy second part of the year. So, I love doing the punditry. It's great crack. Really enjoy it. Love watching the games and doing the bit of analysis. Back to the day job now.
You're mad for work, but you can't stop. Come here, did you predict someone now in the punditry who is going to win it outright? And I presume it's in the bunch that's playing today.
Yeah, they are still there, So I was on the fence between France and Portugal. So I still think...
As the outright winners?
Wow. It's funny, like I had Portugal as the Ronaldo factor being a big part of it because... Yeah. I just think, you know, the way he performed in the game against Ireland, he just shows that he does still have that capacity to produce those moments of magic. Mm-hmm. And with the day job, I was obviously over at the World Cup as part of our technical study group. So we go to all the games and we watch them, analyse them tactically. How are the teams setting up? What are the changes they're making? What's working? What impact do different players have? Mm. So I was at the World Cup final, which was the most incredible game that I was ever at.
Wasn't it? And, yeah, this is the end of 2022, the week before Christmas.
Yeah, and like just the Mbappe factor in that game. So he's got that factor for France, but hasn't really yet got firing. And I think, you know, listening to Deschamps, the mask is definitely having a bit of an impact on him in terms of his peripheral vision. And so he hasn't quite just got to his levels yet. However, and we were chatting about this in studio the other night, you know, do you take your big players off or do you leave them on? Because they're the one player that has that ability. They could have an awful game and then produce the moment of magic like Jude Bellingham for England. Yeah. That just makes the difference. So this is the part of the tournament now where the big players generally come to the fore and where they start to produce the moments that make the difference. And that's where I love it now when it gets to this stage, because it really comes down to the smallest margins of the real top world-class performers. And I love that.
Yeah, so it's Portugal-France. That's the second game tonight. It's in Hamburg at 8 o'clock. Do you think Portugal is going to do it?
So
you're back in the win.
It's just this is what I love. I just don't know, because they really had an underpar performance the last day. And I think with Cristiano Ronaldo, they've a little bit of a conundrum in the team, because when he's there, if they use him wisely, and like, because I say, when you're marking, like I know this, but when I worked with Northern Ireland, Portugal were in our group, and we played Portugal over there for Ronaldo's 100th cap that game. Wow. And we had to figure out how to stop him when he was right in his prime. So it's like you've a choice. Do you double up on him, which means you leave somebody else free, or do you allow him to go 1v1, which really you're not going to do. So if you double up on him, you have to make sure that you're covering, you're almost half and going half and half somewhere else. But I actually think Portugal used the spare player really, really well in the game before. I think it was 3-0, their 3-0 win over, Turkey. And they were brilliant at it in that game. But in the last game, they didn't do it. Like, it was back to trying to hit him all the time. And he was getting frustrated and they looked more one-dimensional. But they do have players that give them other options. So I think the key, if you're putting him in the team, use him to your advantage and use the spare player then, because they've got quality there. So I just think they just reverted a little bit to type. So if they can do that, I think they'll cause France real problems. But having said that, I still don't think we've seen the best of France. And I think France are probably the best squad man for man.
Interesting. I gather, by the way, we can't stop talking about Ronaldo, let's face it. I gather you you came in the vicinity of Ronaldo during that World Cup, which would have been 2012.
It was World Cup qualifiers in 2014. Yeah.
So he was in the tunnel.
And I remember the first, I was with Cork City at the time, and we were top of the League of Ireland, you know, kind of competing with Dundalk in that brilliant rivalry. So for me, I was working at the highest level of the game in Ireland. And I remember when I went in with Northern Ireland, I was like, oh my God, I was working with players like Johnny Evans and, you know, Stephen Davis and players who were playing in Premier League clubs. And I was like, Jesus, now I can see the difference here with these lads, the speed they move the ball, the physicality and that. And so I had learned a lot just by making that step up to Northern Ireland. And then I saw Cristiano Ronaldo and I was just literally, I had an intake of breath, like the size of him, the presence, the aura, the calmness. He's such a presence. Like, and then out on the pitch, you know, in the warm-ups, I was just like, the way he moves, and in the game, how explosive he is. It was just, I could say, like, I could straight away see this guy is at a different level the top level, if you know what I mean. So he definitely does have that factor, you know, and you look at him now, like even the age that he is and to still be playing at the level that he is and his commitment, his work ethic, you know, and I think, you know, he's been an incredible player. I don't think he's at the level he used to be.
And you made that great point for him about the tears the other night. I know Didier Hamann was saying it was embarrassing, so on. I thought you made a brilliant point. We mentioned here the other day that it was a realization for him. He's 39. He's not going to go back in time.
I felt it. I actually, because he really, I've never seen, like, he's normally so controlled and so in control and, you know, so focused. It just looked like he just, the vulnerability in him that he's maybe starting to feel as a world-class player, maybe he felt it I won't presume to know how he felt at that moment, but it just looked like he had a bit of a moment that he was trying so hard and nothing he tried was coming off. And it's just like, normally it just comes off for him at some point. And you just wonder, did he feel, maybe this isn't, you know, he looked so emotional. And I think as well, that's one of the biggest challenges, and certainly something I've experienced in coaching, is when you're dealing with a really big player or someone who's been a really important player in the club or a senior player, and they're coming to the end of their career, how you manage that is really challenging, because you have to move them on and evolve the team while they're still there, but almost encouraging them and helping them to understand that they may have a different role to play for the team now, that their role is evolving. And it's really hard to manage that. And I think that's one of the biggest challenges Martinez has, is how he manages Ronaldo within the team to get the best out of him for the team, but also to use the expertise and the brilliance of the other players that he has to make a click and get Portugal to win.
It is.
And it's one of the hardest parts of being a manager, is managing big players as they're coming to the ends of their careers.
Ronaldo, I think my favourite Ronaldo moment ever, I don't know if you've seen the documentary, Lisa, from Ronaldo, where he's trying to give his agent a compliment and the best he can give up with is, you're like the Ronaldo of soccer agents. I just love the absolutely unforgiving ego.
Yeah, he's got such a unique mentality. And, you know, you almost, a player like him almost has to have that, you know, that self-belief.
Definitely have managed to become your colleague, someone who's got that, what did you say, it was a unique mentality? That's a lovely way of putting it.
Yeah, yeah. Come here. Like, you see it, like Mbappe has it too.
He does.
World-class players, they have a fearlessness that other players don't have, that they try things. Wayne Rooney had it. You know, there's players that just have it.
They have
that capacity to just do something like in a mad moment that you're going, what are you doing? Oh my God, aren't you a genius? Do you know what I mean?
Spain versus Germany, we better talk about. That's the first match today, 5:00.
Yeah, I'm really looking for another one. I'm really looking forward to. I think Spain have been brilliant, you know, and I love the Lamine Yamal story, you know, a kid who's finishing school and doing his exams.
Doing his homework in between matches.
At the Euros and maybe wasn't allowed to play after a certain time in the evening because he's underage and he can't work in Germany after a certain time. I just think it's been a fabulous story. But Spain have been such a joy to watch. They're such a lovely team. And I love the evolution that they still have that kind of tiki-taka vibe about them, that they're so creative, but they'll go direct and they're much more multidimensional. I think De Fuente has done a great job with them in terms of just making them, they're much better solving different problems. And I really like that about them. But having said that, Germany, I think, and I said this, I think I did the Germany-Hungary game. Mm-hmm. I think Germany are the one team that have all their best players in their right positions in a formation that suits them best. And I know that's very efficient and very German.
You're faving them.
But I do, I think there's something about them. I think Toni Kroos, I could watch him playing football all day. He's just, I love how he pulls the strings in midfield and he's been phenomenal. And he's retiring, bizarrely. He is, yeah. And it was funny. I was chatting to Grace about it yesterday, but my son, I get him to do like little research projects for me.
Hang on a second. This is why you can do the punditing.
He's brilliant. He was 15 yesterday, so he had a day off.
What's his name?
Matthew.
Matthew. So he's obsessed.
He's a chip off his mum's block, I think. Yeah. But I was getting him to look at the average age of the German backline.
Yeah.
And the goalkeeper and stuff. And I think the average age was about 30. Average age of the forward line was 20 and a half with Musiala and Wirtz. So it's like they've got this massive experience and solidity in midfield and across the back line and at goalkeeping. And then they've got this wild pace, creativity. So it's like you just give the ball forward to the quick boys and let them do the damage up there. So I just think there's a really interesting dynamic to them.
And Musiala is their top scorer, isn't he? Well, he's joint top scorer in the tournament at the moment.
It's a joy to watch. Him and Wirtz, the two of them, they're fabulous.
We better talk about England then. That's on Sunday, isn't it? Saturday, 5 o'clock, England, Switzerland. Because again, they're on the easy side of the draw, but they've made things look difficult and they've got out of jail with that amazing Jude Bellingham bicycle kick.
Yeah, and I mean, this is what you talk about. Big players can produce a moment of magic even when you're playing well. And to win when you're playing ugly or not playing well is a great trait in a team, particularly in tournaments, because teams that kind of want to be there or expect to be there, thereabouts at the end, they don't want to play all the races or, you know, peak too early as such. You want to kind of save yourself a little bit, do what you need to do to win, to get to the latter stage of the tournament, and then you kind of go for it. But I think with the England team, the problem they have, Oliver, is that all their defenders and their holding midfielders are right-footed. And Gareth Southgate talked about the difficulties they were having about playing out from the back and building their play. But I think I know from myself when I'm looking at with a team to how we'll stop the opposition team when I'm doing the strategy, we would look at do they have any right footers in the left centre back or the left back position?
Really?
Because if they do, they can only play a certain way. And if you think all of the back four are right footed, apart from Luke Shaw, who's injured, and can't feature, the only way they can play forward is with their right foot, which almost cuts off diagonal line of the pitch.
That's an unbelievable observation. That's what you do.
And then you have Phil Foden, who's playing on the left, and everyone's saying he's not doing anything, he can't get the ball.
They can't get the ball to him
because they have this unfortunate... So if you're pressing...
The prevailing
and
wind.
And you press them from
the
left side, you're either forcing them onto their left foot, which is the weak foot, and you'll probably win it back then, which teams are having good success. Or if you allow them to go on the right, you're forcing them to play diagonally across, which you can put numbers in there and stop them that way. So I think that's the fundamental problem with the England team.
Switzerland's been playing well, And against
they
that,
have.
Are they going to win?
And they're a very functional team, and they've good players. They're technical, and they're really playing together as a team. So I'm a little bit surprised how far they've got, but then I think the draw has probably favoured them. But I think this is the real test for them now, is this one. And, you know, because there does come a little bit of pressure. There'll be loads of pressure on England.
Who's going to win?
I think England will win.
You think England will win? No, that's interesting. Well, look, but some of the people who are thinking that there are preconditioned soccer pundits appear obliged to be critical, whatever happens, will be surprised at that. I don't have a huge amount of time, Lisa, but someone's asking a question here. Can you ask Lisa if she'll be the new men's manager of the Irish team? Thank you, Sean in Dublin 7.
Not at the moment, anyway.
That's a definite no. Oh my God, that's a good
not
gig.
At the moment.
Not at the moment, but not never.
Listen, the one thing I've learned in football is never rule anything out. Anything can happen. I've had the most incredible career to date, and I couldn't in my wildest dreams imagine that I'm working where I am now with the caliber of the top coaches and you know, former players in the world football. So it really is a privilege. So I certainly, if someone had said it to me 5 years ago or 10 years ago that I would have had the journey that I've had, I definitely would not have believed them, but I do love it, and that's the one that's my dog barking.
The dog is saying, "No, say you'll do it."
Yeah, she's keeping sketch on side. There must be a cat approaching or something. It's the one thing about football. It can bring you anywhere. So I think you always have to be open to where the road may take you, but always focus on where you are.
Okay, you've said a lot there. You've said a lot. Open to where the road might take you. I'll leave on this message. Someone says, Lisa Fallon, brilliant as usual. What knowledge and how she can explain things. Listen, enjoy the World Cup out in Colombia. Is that where you're going? And everything else that you do, we enjoy you as a pundit. And thanks for chatting to us today, Lisa.
No problem at all. Thank you.